It's Wednesday, the 15th of May in the year of our Lord, 2024. I am so happy that my friend Mark Devlin, DJ, world DJ, now true speaker, author, what hasn't this man done? He's here and we're going to carry on with our hip hop series. Welcome, Mark Devlin.
Hey, Lou. Good to be back with you. Plenty to talk about, as always.
Yeah. I mean, great to have you back, Mark. The last show did really, really well. I want to go in a second. We're just going to dive straight into what the hell is going on in the mess of hip hop. But what have you been up to? What have you got coming up? How's the book sales and tours? Let's have 5 minutes on Mark Devlin.
Well, I'm just trying to remember the last time I was on, which I think was, you just said, late November last year. And by that point, I just got back from Australia. I did a mini speaking tour out there that went really well. I hit four cities and it was very well received, pretty good numbers. And there was an appetite for the information that I talk about. So I then decided that I would try and repeat the process in America and do a US East Coast mini speaking tour in April. And I thought, well, what cities should I go to in that part of America? Well, New York's the obvious one. And then Philadelphia is just down the road. New Haven, Connecticut is just up the road. And I like the idea of going to the belly of the beast because that's where Yale University is. That's where the Skull and Bones Secret Society Mystery School is based. And we could probably get into that when we get onto the diddly stuff. And also Boston. So I just did ground transportation between those four cities, and what a difference it was. I had to cancel the New York one due to lack of interest. So you got a city there of about 8 million people in the greater New York area, and five of those 8 million were interested in coming along and hearing about my exposure of the music industry and what really goes on. This is in the midst of all this diddly stuff, you know, all the revelations or accusations about Sean Combs were occurring at the time, and he's based in New York, but in spite of that, only five people wanted to buy tickets, so I had to cancel that one. Five people came along to Boston. The weather was absolutely preposterous. It was snowing and it was just bleakly cold, but only five people turned out. I kept that event going. And then Philadelphia, I had 23 people, and New Haven, 25. So bit of a difference to Australia. How naive was I in thinking I could just repeat that process and get 75, 80 people at each gig? So that was an eye-opener to me, and it just brought home how many cultural differences there are between Australia and America. And you just can't treat those two markets the same. So obviously in Australia, people have had it really difficult the last 3 or 4 years. The tyranny has been absolutely blatant and it's galvanized a lot of people into action. But in America, I don't know what it is. Maybe they feel they know all this stuff already and they don't need some guy from England to come over and tell them about it. Maybe they're just really passive and just really lazy and they're just like getting their stuff on YouTube and can't be asked to turn out to events. I don't know what it is, but it didn't really work out that well. So did that in April. Other than that, I'm doing a lot of stuff in the UK. I always do. Conferences, meetup groups, a few festivals coming up in the summer, a few DJ sets, believe it or not. You know,
you did beautiful. I think we might have probably asked you this, but sounds beautiful. It's my birthday weekend on the Friday. Matt's coming. Oh, Matt's going to be playing, which is just perfect. So are you DJing on Sounds Beautiful or are you just speaking?
No, I'm just speaking on that one. Speaking on the Saturday afternoon about 2 o'clock.
Okay, so you're not going to be there Friday night. I was like, hey, come party with us.
Well, yeah, I would like to be there on the Friday night. If I can work out a way of getting down there and finding somewhere to stay, maybe I could do that. So I'm DJing at a few others. I'm doing the Hope Freedom Music Festival in August, and I'm doing Stand in the Light, which is the late May bank holiday, just a couple of weeks, and a few other bits and pieces through the summer.
Nice. So let's get into it. We did a show. I'm still getting messages on how good that show was. We looked at the history, we looked into the Black Illuminati, we deal with the 80s, 90s. Now let's go forward. Let's bring in the times of Britney Spears. Let's bring in the time of the Notting Hill gang, Sienna Miller, and these trendies, Sadie Frost. It seems that Diddy had a quite a long off and on affair. I mean, who hasn't, by the sounds of things, of that Sienna Miller photograph there. Lots of drama. We obviously had the Jennifer Lopez. Let's talk Diddy, Mark. What have you seen? What are your thoughts, basically, of what's going on? The allegations made against him, the shootings that he's been involved in, and the women that have discussed him. Obviously, we talked Cassie, we've talked Jennifer Lopez. It now looks like we've got Sienna Miller playing a part in this. What do you think? What's going on?
I've done a lot of research over the years, Lou, and I've seen a lot of things. I've looked into satanic ritual abuse, trauma-based mind control, horrific subjects like that. But some of the revelations that are coming out about Puffy, or we should say allegations, I guess, at this stage, some of the things he's been accused of, some of the stories that I'm hearing are genuinely shocking me. I thought I was unshockable when it comes to all this unsavory, nefarious stuff that goes on in entertainment behind the scenes. But some of the things I've been hearing, there's a video I was watching on YouTube and it's called Deep Diving P. Diddy's Trafficking Investigation. It's Worse Than You Think. And it's by a couple that call themselves Mile Higher, Kendall Ray, and this guy called Josh, who I think is her partner. They did a really good job on that podcast. It was an hour and a half or so. And when I watched that, I was just like, wow, this guy is an absolute monster. I mean, he's clearly a psychopath, primary psychopath, ticks all the boxes for that.
Definitely.
He's just absolutely out of control. The things he's been accused of, there's just no place for people like that in any kind of decent, civilized society. They just should not be allowed to operate. He belongs, at the very least, in jail. And I would suggest in some sort of mental institution because he's completely unstable, completely out of control. I learned that he earned his name Puff Daddy. I had some theories as to why he might have been called that, given some of his preferences. But apparently, he earned the name Puffy when he was very young because he used to puff his chest out and huff and puff when he didn't get his own way. So he's somebody that's used to getting what he wants. And there's a video you can find on YouTube where he's smashing up an office. You might have seen this one. He goes into somebody's office, trashes the whole thing, and he's screaming and shouting. And he says, I'm a savage. I have to get what I want. This is what happens when I don't get what I want. And I'm just thinking, this guy should not be allowed to operate in any capacity in society. And yet, what do we find? He's headed up record labels. He runs all these parties. He hangs out with all these celebrities, all kinds of famous people, including Prince Harry. So there's another connection to the royal family. Not that Harry's really a royal, but you know what I mean. So, we've got Prince Charles having been close personal buddies with Jimmy Savile. We've got Prince Andrew hanging out with his pal Jeffrey Epstein and attending his parties and getting involved in all kinds of stuff that Epstein was into. And now here's Prince Harry hanging out at P. Diddy parties. So, how long until the penny drops with the general British public as to what that institution is all about? But that's just a sideline.
I
And
know,
we've got,
right?
yeah,
Crazy.
I know it really is. And so I'm hearing now about all these parties that Diddy's held over the decades, because we're going back to the 90s. There's stories involving this guy from the early 90s. So he's been getting away with it for about 33, 34 years.
And
There's
up to
stories about.
last year, Mark, up to it was still going on around Christmas time last year.
Right. Well, the revelations that we're dealing with now date back to November, just a few months ago. That's when we did our first show. And since then, we've had the stuff coming out from Little Rod, this producer and videographer. I mean, Little Rod is not a name that most guys would want to use as a nickname for themselves.
But he is a married man. He is a married man with kids. So
Right.
unless they just see it Rod as in Rodney and they didn't think properly, I don't know. But no, it wasn't the wisest of names, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think most guys would not want to go by the name Little Rod. But anyway, Rodney Jones, to give him his real name, came out in February of this year with all kinds of allegations that just heaped on top of all the stuff we'd heard from Cassie and all these other women and men. And when you look at the totality of what this guy has been accused of, You just wonder how the hell it's been possible for him to get away with it for so long. And it's absolute proof that he's got friends and connections in very high places. He's protected. He's basically the Jeffrey Epstein of hip hop, isn't he? Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, he really is. I mean, I did say I believed it was going to be worse than Diddy. What stuff comes worse than Epstein? Epstein, we were focused around the 1990s, 2000s eras. This is as you said, this is going up all the way to last year. He is a monster. He would encourage what we've now seen. He would actually, everyone would hold freak-off parties, their own freak-off parties, and that's including. I'm just so gutted about it, Mary J. Blige. I know she's trying to distance himself, but it's too late, I think. I really do believe it's too late because apparently she was at these parties, you know, and he would have other people directing. Now, what's happened over the last 24 hours, I don't know if anyone has seen it, but DJ Epidemic, what's it called? Academics, DJ Academics, who's ended up getting in because it's continuing now. We're now looking at Drake and Kendrick Lamar. And there's this big row going on. This DJ Academics, who has been around a long time, so kind of got into the fold a little bit defending Drake. Now it's come out that he would be at the freak-off parties as well and directing them as well. This DJ Academics. Diddy has destroyed, single-handedly destroyed hip hop. Okay, it's dark. It's not just Diddy. We know there's lots of players.
He did it
But
in the
let's,
90s, Lou.
yeah, but this now has done it.
Yeah,
Like
I
you
mean, as far as I'm concerned, hip hop as a meaningful art form was systematically destroyed in the 1990s. It's not made sense since. It's been used to push agendas. What passes for so-called rap and hip hop these days is just straight satanic garbage, pushing all kinds of social engineering agendas. But it can all be traced back to the 90s, and so much of the blame can be laid at Puff's door. I mean, I've never liked this guy. So, in the 90s, I was a DJ on the radio in the clubs playing hip hop music, hip hop and R&B. And I never liked Puffy from the start. He first emerged with Uptown Records in the early 90s. He put out records by Mary J. Blige and Jodeci. He'd been given that imprint by André Harrell. And they were connected to Arista Records, run by Clive Davis, deeply
Ugh.
suspect character, just as much of a monster as Diddy, it seems. But yeah, then Diddy was given his Bad Boy Records imprint. That was his little reward, his little prize for having served his masters so well. And that's when he started to put out the likes of Notorious B.I.G. and all these other rappers. And round about that time, that's when hip hop music started to change. So you'd had the gangster rap stuff coming through NWA and Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and these kind of groups. And that was pushing criminal lifestyles and talking about slinging crack and running guns and doing drive-by shootings and stuff. And then you had the people like Jay-Z coming through talking about selling crack, and Notorious B.I.G. was talking about that as well. But Puffy changed hip hop in terms of popularizing songs and artists who were talking about balling, flossing, flaunting gold chains, shiny suits, Versace this and Armani that, and champagne and all this nonsense. Just complete vacuous, materialistic lifestyles. And I really hated what was going on at that time because I could see that the culture was changing. And it used to be a meaningful art form. If you go back even before the gangster rap stuff, there were some meaningful sort of social commentary messages coming through the music. But by the time you got to 97, that's when Notorious B.I.G. had been murdered. There are very strong suggestions that Puffy had a hand in that event, and also the murder of Tupac, from what I'm hearing. He's affiliated to both events. By the time you got to 97, m most mainstream hip hop was just talking about champagne and all this absolute nonsense that Puffy had brought in. So I didn't like him even then. And that's before I discovered any of this stuff that he's allegedly into. And we're hearing about him plying women with drugs and then sexually assaulting them, doing the same thing with men. Little Rod, that's a very strange story because he lived with Puffy from September 22 to November 23 when he was producing his Love album. Yeah, appropriate title. And he was his videographer. So we're told that Little Rod was commissioned to film everything that Puffy got up to in that time. So presumably there's a whole bunch of evidence there that can now be used against him, or theoretically anyway, and audio recordings as well. We hear that Puffy had cameras and recording equipment in all of his homes, New York, Miami, LA, and he would get all these famous people to come along to these parties. He would hold these so-called freak-offs there where God only knows what went on, but it was all filmed. And that's exactly what Epstein used to do with all the celebrities and rich and famous and powerful people that came to his parties. So that's why I say Puffy is like the Epstein of the hip hop world. And it's just shocking, you know, the way he's alleged to have treated Cassie. She was basically a kept sex slave, and she was emotionally and mentally abused and traumatized. He used to beat her up, from what I hear. And then he used to force her to stay in a hotel room for a week or two and apply makeup so that the wounds could heal. And she would not be seen in public again until she looked okay because of the damage that he'd done to her. And that's why we say, you know, this guy is an absolute monster, getting away with it for so long. It's high time he faced justice. And I don't know whether he's going to, because all this stuff has come out. And obviously, these lawsuits, these legal cases take some time to reach their fruition. But if he doesn't end up going to jail, it will be all the proof anyone could ever need of just how sick and diseased and depraved the entertainment industry is, and how sick organized society is generally.
Indeed. I mean, we've now on the back of this, as I touched on before, we've now got this whole Drake and Kendrick Lamar, and I urge everybody to go and just Google Kendrick Lamar, They're Not Like Us. Put the subtitles on. He destroys Diddy and Drake. And what they do, Drake does exactly the same thing. I mean, we need to remember about Drake. So it's almost like a generational thing, like Big School, Epstein in the 90s, Diddy, we know was at Epstein's parties, you know. And the thing is, it's not just these people. There are other people doing the same thing. It's just that Diddy is so, oh, I don't even know what words to say. So over the top, in your face, that he's brought attention to it. Do you know what I mean? His overspending, his whole him, you know, it makes ugh, it's really, really suspect. And then Drake was there, and then we had that Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things, who went sat down on a live television show. And says Drake calls her. She's 13.
And
And she
gives her
talks about
advice about
boys.
boyfriends.
Yeah. And I mean, this is it's just going to continue. There are more names, but what I'm finding now is there's been a lot of arguments like how, you know, it's all about the culture of black people. If people aren't black American, they haven't got the same culture and the music. And I understand that. But now we're seeing how well the left have done with this whole racial split between people, because there are some very good young YouTubers out there and they talk as if white people don't have the right to say anything about anything to do with hip hop, that we haven't got a right because we're not black, which is a shame because, as you say, you're a music producer, you're heavily into the music, you know a lot about it. But there's also now this being brought in, this cultural war, as well as the abuse. Everything just seems to be a distraction, Mark. What do you think? Have you seen a lot of that within the hip hop world, that people who aren't Black American, because it isn't just because they're black, we haven't got the culture thing of being Black American. There's a certain thing for Brooklyn, isn't there? There's a certain thing for Compton. What do you think about all of this?
I think people who happen not to be black have absolutely every right to comment on what's going on in that culture. As long as
Again.
you do the research and you do it professionally and diligently, and you can provide your citations and resources, why not? Why should you not be allowed to comment on these scenes? One thing I've noticed, I don't want to really make an issue of it, but through the COVID nonsense debacle, I noticed very few prominent black people, celebrities, in the public eye, standing up and commenting about the obvious tyranny that was going on. Like I say, I don't want to make an issue of this, a racial issue, but it was mainly white people. That's a
It's that
fact.
I'm the only reason I'm bringing it up is I watch a girl because of the hip hop, and she's very good and she's entertaining. And she's spot on the money. She's spot on the money. And it's only because somebody had made some comment about the whole Diddy beef and everything else, and to do with Kendrick Lamar and Drake. Drake made some assumption about Kendrick, and Kendrick's the whole song's a lot to do with culture. And somebody had made a comment in this girl's thing, and she's going, "You don't have a right. You don't have a right to discuss this. You
You
can't
should have
talk
a
about
right.
this. This is to do with black culture. This is within us. You don't understand it. You never will.
But that's
And
like
you're not
saying
allowed."
black people can't enjoy rock music,
Do you
like
know what I mean? That's
a
exactly
black
it. Like,
person can't enjoy a Led Zeppelin album,
do you know
you
where it first came from, which is really, really interesting, is a woman, a teacher at one of the big universities. So you know that this is now going to go political. Because if this came out of from a lecturer at one of the big universities saying that no one has a right to discuss the songs of what's going on at the moment because people don't understand the culture. So I got disappointed with the girl quoting that, who I was watching, because I've really, she's bought into it, as have so many. But it's sad that it's got to go down this route, that anyone who talks about it is now going to be kind of slandered. And I think even that the Breakfast Club, is that Charlemagne? My God, he's disgusting. Charlemagne the
Charlemagne the
God?
God.
What's that all about?
Well, I don't know, but it just smacks of a distraction, doesn't it? Trying to
Doesn't
make a
it?
racial issue
Doesn't
out of
it?
it and stopping
Exactly.
people focusing on Diddy's activities and all these other people he's affiliated with, and instead turning it into some sort of racial
That's
cultural issue.
exactly it. This is what they do. There'll be something that they can turn this into, so everyone's squabbling. Not the fact that there are children trafficking. I mean, this Ava, this little girl, Ava Coombs, you must have seen the video of Diddy introducing his adopted white girl, daughter, Ava. Have you seen the video?
I don't think I have seen that one, no.
Okay, I'm going to send this to you after. So there is a video filmed back, I think it was 2020, so 4 years ago, of, I think it was a party at Diddy's house. It was during COVID, 2020, I think. And there's a party going on, and all the family are at Diddy's. And he goes up to the camera with his arm around a little girl, saying, and she, the way she, my name's Ava, and I'm a Scorpio. It felt like she was selling herself. It felt like she was doing an advert for herself. And her story is that she was out on the street, and Papa Diddy asked me to come and play with his children, and would I come and live with them?
Yeah. What's all this
So now,
about Puffy having kids living with him? People have
that's
probably seen
it.
that video with Justin Bieber. And he says
All the kids live there. All the kids live
Justin
there.
Bieber's spending 48 hours with him, and Puffy's saying, "Oh, it's a 15-year-old's dream. We're going to get up to some crazy stuff, which I can't disclose, but it's a 15-year-old's dream." And then Usher lived with him for a period,
Usher was
when he was
13 for a, and he lived there
13.
for a year.
Right. And Usher's done an interview where he said he saw all kinds of crazy things going on at Puffy's houses. And he's 13 and he's living there. How is that acceptable?
There's a
How did that
baby that
happen?
he's Diddy's now just got, that's appearing in all of his videos. Don't know who the mother is, but it's called Baby Love. And if he I don't know, I don't understand here as well. He's opened up his comment section on Instagram this week. Why would he do that? But a lot of the pictures and the videos that Diddy has on his Instagram are involving this little baby Love that he seems to have sole custody. He's got the two twin girls there. He's got Quincy Jones's son that he adopted, which I think was Kim Porter's child. I think that's Justin. Or one of them. Anyway, you've got Justin Christian King Coombs, who looks like he's going to be going to jail very, very soon as well, because a young girl who worked as like a waitress on a yacht got sexually assaulted whilst they're recording the Love album. And what's interesting is that Little Rod was there doing production, and it picked up the audio of the son abusing this girl who worked on a yacht. Then he's got another girl called, I think her name's Jessie. Don't really see much of her. She kind of stays out. I think there's about seven children in total. But this Ava, where is she? She's not mentioned in the list of his seven children. There are pictures of her as a very, very young girl playing with the two girl twins, but she would be a couple of years younger. I will send you a link to the video, but what happened to this little girl? She's at that party. It just doesn't, things just don't add up at all, Mark. So where will the hip hop industry go from here? Because it's such a mess. As I say, we now got this Drake, Kendrick Lamar stuff going on, who now Metro Boomin are all being brought into it. Where can you see things going, Mark?
I lost interest in the so-called hip-hop game years and years and years ago. As a DJ now, I play soulful house, soulful uplifting house, because that's the only music I'm interested in, contemporary stuff. So I stopped paying attention to what goes on in hip-hop many years ago. When I'm unfortunate enough to ever catch a so-called hip-hop or rap record from these times, it just sounds to me like the artists are demonically possessed. Literally, because
They really are, yeah.
they're using that friggin' awful, horrific, satanic auto tune, and it makes their voices sound like they're channeling some fucking entity or something, you know. And it's just disgusting and satanic, and there's stuff going on in the sound frequencies that just makes it all sound disturbing. And God only knows what they're even talking about, because you can't hear it half the time, the mumble rap lyrics. But it's just horrible. It's horrific. It bears no similarity or connection to what went on in the early days of rap and hip hop. So I just don't pay attention to it anymore.
No.
It's just a damn shame what did happen to it. And one thing I want to mention, I think we mentioned this dude in our last chat, but we ought to throw him into the mix because it is all connected. Tim Westwood. What's
Yes,
going on with Tim
yes.
Westwood? Every now and again, I do a Google search, latest news, Tim Westwood, or Metropolitan Police Investigation, or BBC Investigation, Tim Westwood. And all you get is results from months and months and months ago, whereas we were told that there is, you know, at least two investigations ongoing into the accusations against this guy. So for anyone that doesn't know, Tim Westwood was the gatekeeper, the most prominent hip hop DJ in the UK for decades, you know, th over 30 years. And in 2022, April 22, a bunch of women, all black, accused Westwood of having sexually molested them at various parties or gigs, or just having taken advantage of them. So Westwood is a posh middle-class public schoolboy, but for some reason he rose to the very top ranks to become the most prominent hip-hop DJ in the UK. It's very similar to David Rodigan in the reggae world, who's got a very similar background to Westwood, and he became the gatekeeper and the number one DJ in the reggae scene in the UK. So you've got two posh white public schoolboys in two cultures which are black by nature, but
And
you know,
both work for the BBC.
right, yeah. And Rodigan's an MBE, and Westwood was close personal friends with Puffy. So he used to have Puffy on his show on Radio One, and they'd be popping champagne and hanging out in the studio and stuff. He had Biggie in the early days, and then after Biggie was murdered, Puffy used to come in. And Westwood was also close personal friends with R. Kelly. R. Kelly went to jail a few years ago for basically running a sort of sex mind control harem and having taken advantage of numerous women. And also, Westwood was close personal friends with Afrika Bambaataa and used to have him in on his show. And they
Africa.
used to
Oh,
laugh
remember
and
the
joke.
name. What song was that? What song was that? Remind
Planet
me.
Rock.
Why? Really? So what's the story behind him?
So in 2016, Afrika Bambaataa, who is lauded as one of the founding fathers of hip-hop culture alongside Kool Herc and Grandmaster Flash. So if you were in into rap music and you were coming up in the game as a DJ or a fan or whatever, you were entrained to think of Bambaataa as this sort of demigod who was instrumental in getting that culture up and running. In 2016, two men, Rodney Savage and Hassan Campbell, came forward and accused Bambaataa, real name Lance Taylor, of having sexually molested them when they were young boys in the Universal Zulu Nation, which is this operation that Bambaataa founded, sort of connected to hip hop culture. And in the wake of that, a bunch of other people came forward, men, accusing Bambaataa of having sexually molested them as well. And various members of the Universal Zulu Nation said, oh, yeah, it was kind of a best kept secret within the organization. Everyone kind of knew what Bambaataa was up to, but you just knew not to say anything and keep your mouth shut. Does that remind you of anything? Because it sounds to me
Really?
very similar to what we heard from various characters in the BBC, from Noel Edmonds to Esther Ranson and whoever else, about Jimmy Savile. They would say, oh, yeah, everyone kind of knew what Savile was up to, but you just kind of kept your mouth shut. So we're getting the same sort of stories from the Universal Zulu Nation. Nothing's happened to Bambaataa. So that was 8 years ago. He's still walking around a free man. These accusations have gone absolutely nowhere. It's interesting to me that Tim Westwood was friends with all these people and he's now up to his neck in his own allegations, but they don't seem to be having any effect on him because he's still walking around a free man. Not only that, he's still throwing parties. He's doing his own club nights in South London, Lewisham, which are going to be attended by lots of young black girls. He's always going out to Lagos, Nigeria, and doing parties there and hanging out with all the kids that come out to those
Yeah, well, we
parties.
know what goes on in Africa, man.
Right. And yet nothing happens to him despite these investigations. He's allowed to leave the country. He's allowed to be around all these young black girls. There's no restrictions on that. So there seem to be levels and grades within the industry. So with somebody like R. Kelly, for whatever reason, they'll throw him under a bus. And then, Rolf Harris went to jail for a bit. And it seems that some of them are expendable, but others are obviously high level protected and valued above many of the others. So nothing's happened to Tim Westwood. Nothing's happened to Afrika Bambaataa. And my biggest fear is that Puffy is going to get away with all this as well. It'll be a friggin' miracle if he does. And it will be all the indication we need
That's exactly it. Yeah.
of
All
the
the indication we
hierarchy.
need.
I mean, look at the things he's been accused of. Who can walk away from all of that? A
But what
free
about
man.
hang, what about his enablers? Because we've got Lucian Charles Grange, and he's the son of Cecil. Do you remember back in the 90s, the Cecil G clothes, like a bit like Top Man? You also had Cecil G.
I don't remember that.
That's Cecil G clothing, no? I
No, I
remember
don't
going,
remember that,
there
no.
used to be up in there used to be a Cecil G store in Brent Cross Shopping Centre next door to Fenwick's. How sad is I can remember something from 25 years ago when I was a child, as simple as a shop. And I can't remember what I did 5 minutes ago.
Can't remember why you
do
went into the kitchen.
you know what I'm saying? So he's got these enablers. Okay, we've got Clive Davis. We could do an easy 2 hour show on Clive Davis and his
Oh,
dirty dealings.
yes. Yeah.
We've
Andre
got,
Harrell, now deceased.
yes, him
There's a
as
high
well.
body count, isn't there, around Puffy? Andre
Yeah,
Harrell,
but what about
deceased.
the enablers? What about Charles Lucian Grange, head of Universal, started off as head of Universal UK, has now made all the way to the top. His father was a tailor, the Cecil G family, Goldstein, I think, or Goldsmith, Goldstein or Goldsmith. Is his real surname, Lucian Charles Grange. He was knighted by the Queen. What a surprise. Head of Universal Music. He knew what was going on. He was at the parties. What are they involved in? And who's Lucian Charles Grange's boss? So Lucian Charles Grange is basically Diddy's boss, as such, as is Clive Davis, these big, big names. Who are their bosses, Mark?
Well,
Because these are people, he's just like another little puppet, isn't he, Diddy, really? He's just like another actor. He's working for somebody. He's holding these images and everything else
yeah.
for other people. This is why he's untouchable.
He's been chosen for it.
Yeah,
And he's
yeah.
obviously psychopathic. This is
Yeah.
very, very clear. And that's probably why he was selected for this kind of role, because they want these enablers, they want these blackmailers, they want people that hold these wild parties where all this crazy stuff goes on and it all gets filmed. And then that's leverage that can be dangled over whoever attended to get them to comply with certain agendas or whatever. But Puff would have been chosen early on because he displayed many of these traits. So he started off as an intern at Uptown Records, a division of MCA, ultimately under Clive Davis.
Yeah.
And all the people that knew him at that time said he showed this entrepreneurial spirit and he was desperate for success at whatever cost. And I mentioned this in the last show also. His father, Melvin Combs, was a small-time gangster and hustler. And he worked for Frank Lucas, who was the character portrayed by Denzel Washington in American Gangster. And Puff's father was found shot dead in his car on the edge of Central Park in New York when Puff was, I think he was like 3 or 4 years old or something. So, in a later interview, Puff said that he feels he's got his father's hustler's spirit, and that's why he's such a successful entrepreneur. So, this would have been spotted early on by certain parties who keep an eye out for potential assets, and they're looking for people just like P. Diddy because he's so desperate for fame, fortune, and success. He's obviously got zero morals, zero conscience, zero humanity. So he's just the man for the job. So a lot of the time, you find people that rise to these prominent positions come from important bloodline families. It's all about their ancestry, it's kept within certain bloodlines. But there's still a provision for you to rise to these sort of positions if you don't come from one of these important families. And Puff evidently doesn't. There's nothing important about his bloodline. He was just born a psycho. And so they love him. And that's why he's been allowed to get away with all this stuff. And I just wonder why these revelations are coming out now. So November 23, the dam sort of burst. You had this woman, Liza Gardner, who filed the lawsuit against him. And this one involves Aaron Hall, who was part of the group Guy with Teddy Riley.
That's not Hall and Oates, no.
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 He was
Right.
in Guy, and he had some solo hits as well. I used to like his stuff. He made some great records. He's a singer. And this Liza Gardner says that she attended an after party with us, with MCA Records. And Diddy was there with Aaron Hall. And she says that she and a friend were plied with drugs and forced to have sex with Combs, Diddy. This was in the early 90s. Then this woman called, what was her name? Joelle Nickerson, sorry, Joelle Dickerson Neal filed a
Oh,
lawsuit on the same day,
yeah.
claiming that she dated Puffy in 1991. This is
Yeah.
how far back we're going. And she says he gave her drugs at a dinner and later sexually assaulted her, recorded it, and showed it to others, including a member of Jodeci, the R&B group.
Yeah.
And also in November 23, this other woman who's been known as Jane Doe, so we don't know her true identity, alleges that Combs, Harve Pierre, who was the president of Bad Boy Records at the time, so there's another high-flying industry executive, and another man assaulted her in 2003 at Diddy's Manhattan recording studio. So those three cases sort of started the spotlight being shone on what Diddy's been getting up to all these decades. And then in February 24, we had Little Rod adding to the chorus of voices with all his accusations. So, as I say, it will be a bloody miracle if this guy gets to walk free. And people should just not accept this. And if this doesn't wake up, particularly Americans, to the true nature of entertainment, popular culture, music, and what it's really used for, then I just don't know what ever could.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. I do notice that not many people are standing by Diddy. We haven't heard any whispers from where's Jay-Z and where's Beyoncé. Rihanna is
Right.
really distancing himself from her because, of course, Chris Brown and Rihanna were mentioned in Little Rod's lawsuit, the Beijing billionaire and the abusive boyfriend. And the reason Rihanna, according to Little Rod, the beating was, is because she gave Chris Brown herpes that she caught from Diddy or Jay-Z, one of them. I can't remember what one it was off the top of my head. And that's why there was the beating, because she handed on herpes to him.
And Meek Mill is involved in all that as well.
Meek Mill is also involved. We've also got Steve Harvey. He was a comedian. He's not Steve Silk. No, it's Steve Hurley, wasn't it? Steve Silk
Yeah, it's
Hurley.
not him. No.
No, sorry, no, that's Harvey. So you've got that big that guy who actually sold Lori Harvey as his daughter. She's a model, beautiful, but she was pictured partying with Diddy when she was about 15, and she had the white nail varnish on. Ooh. Ooh. And what's even worse is Diddy had his mother at the freak-off parties and his sons. Three generations.
And
Ooh.
did you hear a comment that Diddy made or is said to have made in an interview?
About what?
Or was it a private conversation? I'd have to check the details, but I think it was a private conversation that was recorded. That he was having with somebody else. And he said that he would sell or kill his own mother if that's what it took to further his success. Words to that effect.
Wow.
So
Wow.
you often hear the phrase, oh, he'd sell his own mother, he would, for
He
fame and
really would.
success. But he actually made the comment that he would. That's what little regard he's got for human life. Like I said, the body count that's stacking up around him is unbelievable. So not
And
all of
what?
these are not all of these are necessarily suspect, but certainly the murders of Tupac and Notorious B.I.G., he's said to have been involved in those.
And also Aaliyah. And what about Lisa
Right.
Left Eye Lopez?
Okay, well, there could be a connection there. I mean, there's all sorts of connections with Aaliyah because she was best friends with Kidada Jones, who is Quincy Jones's daughter. You mentioned Quincy Jones earlier.
Yeah.
And also, Aaliyah was at the time engaged to Damon Dash, who was Jay-Z's partner in Rockefeller Records. Jay-Z made the record Brooklyn's Finest with Biggie Smalls for his Life After Death album shortly before Biggie was murdered. And then Jay-Z rose to become the biggest rapper in New York with Biggie out of the way. And some feel that Diddy would have been involved in that somehow, you know, paving the way for Jay-Z's success. So there's connections everywhere you look. And the whole thing is just so ugly and obscene. And this is the best chance there's ever been to totally expose all this sordid, disgusting, depraved stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And if this chance gets squandered, and this stuff goes nowhere, then what's the point of anything anymore?
Yeah,
Because
agreed.
it doesn't get any more blatant than this.
No.
Opportunities don't get any better than this.
True. I mean, it's even coming down like to my son, who's now 18. He knows, I've been doing this nearly as long as he's been alive. So he knows, but he's actually come down and had a few conversations with me because one of his favorite artists, he's really into hip hop and rap, and I'm trying to educate him a little bit. Into some of the really dark stuff that they say and who they are. But one of his favorite artists was XXXTentacion.
Right.
Now he was killed. He went to prison. He totally sold his soul, but he came out of it and he started speaking out. He was rapping about the song. Drake nicked part of his song, right? Just stole part of his song. And the whole of the hip hop music announced it. Like, what are you doing, man? That's not your track. Do you know what I mean? That's not your track. And then all of a sudden, allegations are being made that he beat up his missus, et cetera, et cetera. All absolute lies. And then there was a drive-by shooting, and they reckoned that guy, because he was a very good-looking young guy, and his music, it was coming from the heart, and they killed him. They killed him.
And what about
So
all
this,
this? What about all this Drake stuff as well? I mean, I know some feel that it's a distraction and it's getting people to look over
No,
here
it's
and away
still
from.
legitimate. He still needs to be behind bars.
Well, exactly. I
But
mean, Drake's another Diddy from what we're hearing. He's been
he's
grooming
been passed
youngsters.
the baton. He's
Right.
also Lucian Charles Grange. Lucian Charles Grange involved with Diddy. Lucian Charles Grange involved with Jay-Z. Lucian Charles Grange very, very much involved with Drake.
Yeah.
Very much involved. And Millie Bobby Brown, she was on, as I said earlier, live television coming out grooming her. It's known that's what it's for. It's like, and by the looks of it, all there's been three trespassers and one shooting outside Drake's house. They are now bringing in The Weeknd involved in this, and they're trying to say it was involved. Kendrick Lamar didn't need to do that. Kendrick Lamar ended Drake after the after the, They're Not Like Us. I mean, it wow, it's I'll send you a link to it. I don't know if you've heard it.
Yeah, I
Wow,
have, yeah.
it's absolutely incredible. But Drake used to be in a wheelchair. Did you know that? He used to be in a
No,
wheelchair. Yeah, apparently
I
he
know
used to.
that he's an actor. He's literally an actor. Aubrey Graham, before he became Drake, he was an actor, and then he just emerges as a rapper. So it seems some of these people are chosen for these influential positions, and sometimes they change the plan. So they might put them out there as one thing, and then they think, oh no, actually we're going to switch and train them up in this art form. I mean, a good example would be Ricky Gervais, who does come from a sort of aristocratic French bloodline family. So when he first came out, he was in a pop group, a sort of 80s new wave.
Was he? I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais. There's
I
videos you can
still
get. Was
don't.
it called Sienna Rising? I think it was, or something like that. The name of
All
his
right.
group. They had a very small level of success. He looked a lot like David Bowie in the video, and he's
Ugh.
just doing sort of new wave synth pop in the early 80s. And then he
All
sort of
right.
disappears out of the public eye for a while. And then a few years later, he pops up as a comedian on, what was it, the 11 o'clock show. And then he
Right.
gets The Office. And that just sort of propels him into mainstream fame. And then he starts doing Hollywood movies and becomes a really big name. But it seems like early on, it was decided he was going to be a pop star. And they thought, actually, no, this is not working out. Let's
Wow.
train him up as an actor and comedian. And with Drake, it seems that he was going to be an actor. And then they thought, no, let's put him out as a rap star. So let's get, develop some skills. Not that I feel he's got many skills. He just plugs his bloody voice into auto tune and mumbles about nothing in particular. But yeah, Drake's from an important bloodline family, and he's got. Have you seen his mansion in
Yeah,
Toronto?
this is it. And yeah, the mansion is just. And he really
Who
does
gets
believe that
houses like
he's
that?
some sort of god. He really does believe he is some sort of god.
Yeah, he's got
And
an
he was like
empire.
the yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who gets that? If you're just some rapper off the streets and you sell a few records and stuff, who gets that level of wealth and fame and fortune?
Exactly. What else are they doing?
Well, it reminds me of Prince and Paisley Park. Not that I'm accusing Prince of being into any of this stuff, but Prince put in the work for decades, and he got his empire in Minneapolis, and it's a similar thing, what Drake's got there in Toronto with this absolutely massive mansion with all kinds of crazy security, because who's he trying to keep out? And yeah, he just seems to be another Diddy. He's been accused of this by Kendrick Lamar. And I've got to wonder whether Kendrick is genuine and sincere. I hope he is. And I
I've got
hope.
a feeling he is, but I could be wrong, but I've got a feeling he is.
Well, let's hope he is. Let's hope he's someone that's felt compelled to speak up about what he knows Drake is into, and he's got a conscience and he's trying to, do the right thing. But Kendrick has also had a successful rap career, and from everything I've researched over these decades, you don't get a career like that unless you're playing ball with the controllers of the industry. So let's hope Kendrick's not pushing an agenda. Let's hope that everything he's saying about Drake is valid and genuine, and he's doing it for the right reasons.
Hope so. I mean, we've also got to think about Mark. There's been young people who've just wanted nothing more, and they've worked at their craft. They've really gone for it. They just want that opportunity. They just want that break. They think they're getting, they then they fall into the hands of people like Diddy. And this has happened on countless of times. You know, he gets wrecked. He puts them. There was some band thing, wasn't there, that he was running, like a making the band kind of thing. And he set these young five guys out at 2 o'clock in the morning to go 7 miles to go and get him ice cream and bring it back. And they're like trying to, they're standing there like, how can they do that? How can they go? They had no, he wasn't going to give them cars. He just told them to get out the house and go over and get him like this ice cream. But it was something like 4 or 5 miles. I can't remember exact mileage, miles away. There's no way they'd been able to walk there, get an ice cream and bring it back without it being melted.
Right.
Right. And he's losing the plot with them, like just screaming at them, giving them a hat, telling them how useless they are. This power. And
Because he
then,
has to get his way.
exactly. And then he plays little games with Pete. The games that he plays, it's like a joke. And when people try to walk away from him, they can't. He won't allow them to sign
He's
everyone
been
up
doing
because
it.
they've signed a 5 year, a six album deal with him. They can't get away. They can't get into the studio. They're not selling the albums because they can't get the time. But then all their back catalogue, what they have made, that is owned by Diddy, and they can't get out the contract.
This is what
Like,
Mark Curry wrote about in his book,
yeah.
Dancing with the
It's,
Devil,
I've got it
How
right
Puff
next to me,
Burnt the
actually.
Bad Boys of Hip Hop. Yeah. So Mark Curry was an artist, a rapper that was signed to Diddy's Bad Boy Records. And he was disgusted with what he saw about how Diddy treats his artists and runs his empire. And he actually wrote a book about it. So fair play to him. It's a great book. And it just breaks down all Puff's tactics. And this book came out years ago. What was it, like 2005 or something?
Yeah.
Round about that period. And he was talking about how Puff would have a video shoot for his artists, and he would do things like insert his Bentley into the video, and he would appear in the background dancing around in a shiny suit going, yeah, that's right. And then he would deduct a fee for his Bentley having appeared in the video, and he would take an artist appearance fee for himself for dancing around in the background. When nobody wanted him there in the first place. Nobody asked for him to be in the video. And these are the kind of tactics that he would employ. And all these ways of screwing them out of their royalties and you know, everything else was detailed by Curry in this book. And it's just disgraceful, you know, getting away with it for all these years. Let's hope his chickens are coming home to roost finally. And the stuff with Cassie is genuinely shocking, you know. When I heard some of the detail about how he just traumatized and abused her, I mean, you know, how do you recover from something like that? He was
You
plying her
don't.
with drugs. He was beating her up all the time, allegedly, and then forcing her to put makeup on to cover up the beatings and just pimping her out for these freak-offs, forcing her to perform with these sex workers and filming it and then passing the recordings around. Just disgraceful.
Yeah, he's got that young Miami. I mean, I don't know who she is, what she does. I mean, she just looks, I don't know. I don't know. But there's also a girl called Gina Hun as well that he was involved in. And I saw an interview with her, and he basically stamped on her stomach. And again, she had to be put away and in hiding after the beating that he gave to her.
Did
Then
that
you've
with
got this,
Cassie as well, reportedly, you know,
yeah.
kicked her in the stomach, stamped on her face.
And what he did to Kim Porter as well. I
Who
mean,
is
they're
now
saying
deceased?
who is now deceased, and apparently she was fine. You know,
Yep.
the whole new, no, people don't just, I've had pneumonia 3 times actually. And you don't just suddenly, you're okay one day and the next day you're dropped dead. That doesn't happen.
Very
That
high
doesn't happen.
body count. You
Yeah,
know,
they're racking up.
Craig Mack's dead. Black Rob is dead. Heavy D is dead, who promoted that party early on with Puffy in his career, where they hired a sports hall, gymnasium, and they had a
Gosh,
bunch of
yes.
rap artists that were going to perform. It was a basketball sort of after party, I think. And they oversold the tickets and they just crammed these kids into this sports hall like sardines. And there was a big stampede. They shut the doors. Nobody could get out. And a bunch of people died, trampled on.
Yeah. And
I think
it's a
it was
bit
nine
like that
people.
Travis Scott festival, wasn't it? Of what went on there. And it looks like the Kardashians, especially Kris Jenner, with her partner, Corey Gamble. Did you know Corey Gamble, who's with the matriarch, Kris Jenner? Corey Gamble was at Kim Porter's house the day she died.
Yep, it all stinks.
and like Kim Kardashian involved, very much involved with the freak-offs. It's not surprising. I mean, the mother directed her daughter's sex tape. I mean, what? And what they've all done to Justin Bieber as well. I think every single sister of the Kardashians has been there. And then there's a later video of Justin Bieber. So you had the one where he was, oh, it's every 14-year-old's dream. Then you've got one, the next version, when he's a little bit older, when he's looking so uncomfortable when Diddy just pops up saying, "You never call me."
Exactly.
And Justin Bieber looked petrified. And then following that is when he was got his blonde hair and he's all tattooed up by that. There is a picture of him down on his knees. Down on
mean,
his knees,
all
and as
this.
the camera, he's wiping his mouth. And that was apparently, I can't remember his name now. I think he's an American football player who was with that Chloe, one of them. I think it's the current one that Kim's supposed to be with. I can't remember his name. Apparently, that's he was he had stuff, and that's yeah, he Justin Bieber was down servicing
I
a
mean,
gentleman that they've done.
all this stuff coming out now is just completely validating everything I've been saying about the music
Yes.
industry and the true nature of it for the best part of the past 15 years. And along the
Absolutely.
way, a lot of people have said, "Oh, I can't believe that about this artist. Can't believe this stuff goes on. No, that's a bit far-fetched. That's a bit unbelievable." But look at what's coming out. It's in the mainstream now. It's on the evening news.
It's like,
And
Mark, we've been going at
I've
this.
known. Yeah, I've known this stuff goes on for years. I've been
Yeah.
putting it in my books. I've been talking about it,
Yeah.
and it just feels like vindication.
It really does.
It's all real, and I've been
All the
saying it's all real.
years, like you've been doing that with your music industry, as you say, 15 years. You know, I'm not as old school as you. A couple of years I came onto the Truth Movement after, but everything, all the labels presented mad, absolute nonsense. You're talking nonsense, you're talking rubbish. It may all the hate for all those years, it's like, I know you shouldn't just be
That
sitting back
chorus of
like
haters is dying down a bit now, isn't it?
in it, just we don't look so crazy anymore.
Exactly. I mean, we
Hey,
were vindicated during COVID because
I
we'd been
know.
talking about the New World Order and all these secret societies and all these plans they've got for human society and stuff. And people would scoff and laugh and say, "Oh, you conspiracy theorists." But then March 2020 hit. And it's funny because those same people weren't saying all that stuff. They were just mumbling from behind a mask.
Here we are. Here we are. Mark Devlin, you are bloody brilliant. And I do think let's do this again in 3 months. Who knows who's going to be thrown into the loop by then? Who knows where the world's going to be in
Oh
three
my days.
months?
I
June,
think
July,
Puffle.
August. So it'll be a couple of months before the election. Let's try and before the American election, let's try and have a little chat.
We should. Maybe Puffy should avoid baths because taking a bath
Maybe.
seems to be a very dangerous thing for celebrities.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
But I think he'd probably
So,
enjoy
Mark,
shower. He'd probably enjoy shower time in jail, from what I hear.
by the sounds of it, yeah, I think it's people keep saying that why hasn't he been picked up? I think they're just trying. I can't answer why they haven't picked him up, but I do think it will be imminent. I do
God, I
think
hope
those
so.
charges
That
are imminent.
dude does not belong in regular society. He needs to be
No, he
locked up.
doesn't. He really
He's a
does. He
monster.
really does. And it's going to be interesting to see what the entourage, where this is going to go with your entourage, because you've got the Brendan Poole, who was the young basketball player, that, and it was seems to be his drug mule who just carries all around all the drugs. There's that young dude there as well. You've got Jonathan Oddie, God rest, bless him, still sitting in Miami-Dade prisons. We have actually reached out to his lawyer to see if we can get any statements, etc. And we're actually going to send, I'm actually going to write, sit down and write a letter over the weekend, this weekend, to Jonathan Oddie, because that guy's been sitting in those prisons since 2016, I think. Not even been in front of a judge yet,
Yeah, good for
which
you.
is unheard of. That's unheard of since 2016.
And what's he been
8 years.
accused of?
So he is the guy, and you can get it on YouTube. He ran in to the Miami Trump Hotel, firing off a gun, and he had an American flag around him. So he was getting chased around by the police, And the video is quite funny. They peep somebody sped up the CCTV video. So, and they put some like Benny Hill music behind it, but he's shooting off guns and everything else in there. Apparently he was petrified and he knew he had to go behind prison to give the evidence that he had by the looks of things. That's why he did what he did. Locked up. I'm not sure if anyone was shot in the process, but in his police interview, he states that he has been a sex slave for Diddy for 6-7 months. Cassie picked him out of one of the Dancing Bear Club in Miami, picked him up and took him to the condo, that, you know, Diddy's place. And he was there to do everything that was demanded of him. He was kept there. He was there during the days. Diddy was literally sex 24/7. Basically, there was never any rest off with all of this going on. And he would be sitting around doing business while directing a freak off. And he witnessed it all. He witnessed the drugs, liquid cocaine being trafficked. He witnessed the underage girls being trafficked. He was there for 6 months. He was in the house. Everything is recorded, he states. He confirms Cassie in this police interview, which was 2016. He says every single thing that Cassie said later on, all those years later, 6 years later, he confirms all that.
That was the same year as the Bambaataa stuff came out.
No, sorry, I think it might be 2018. I could be wrong. I think it's 2018, actually. I think right. Trump had just got in. Yeah, he had, because he was trying to raise awareness of what Trump, you know, of what was going on. And so he ran in there trying, I believe, to keep him safe if he's behind bars, but they can't put him into normal prison because Diddy will have a hit out on him. So he has been, I'm just surmising that. I don't know the reason why he's never been in front of a judge, but by the looks of things, it keeps getting cancelled, keeps getting delayed. All I can say is if there's no reason behind that, he should have changed lawyers a long time ago, the fact he hasn't gone in front of a judge. But he's basically sitting there, but he corroborated absolutely everything. He named Rick Ross. He named them all. I'll find you and I'll send you that interview. And he's South African, this dude.
You mean Rick Ross, Officer William Roberts of a correctional facility. You know, Rick Ross, the rapper, used to be a prison guard, right?
Did he really?
Yep. So he comes out as this gangster and he's slinging crack and he's this drug baron and stuff, boasting about it on his records. And before he became a rapper, he worked in a correctional facility as a prison guard. So that's gangster, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Officer Roberts.
Wow. Well, we could go on all day here. I know you're busy. Mark, let's do this again soon. Let's keep an eye on things. If anything major, major breaking, I might call you up and see if you're spare for 5 minutes to jump on.
Sure.
But what a time to be alive.
Well, yeah. Yeah. One way or another. Yeah.
Mark, how can everyone see what you're doing? Your books, your website, your tours, your speaking. You never stop.
I know. It's become my life.
Do you ever see the family? Do you ever see your family? You do?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I take them along to some of my events sometimes.
Oh, really? What about the kids? How do they approach? Do they get it? They've got a really cool dad, even though they don't.
No, they're embarrassed by me. They wish.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
They wish I was a plumber or a bloody, you know, a builder or something. They're very embarrassed by what I do.
Yeah, my kids are the same. They'd much rather me sit in Sainsbury's or something and work at a till.
Exactly. But yeah, it is what it is. So I've got a one-stop shop website, which is djmarkdevlin.com. And from there, you can link through to all my videos. I put videos on YouTube. I'm on my fourth channel there. Also Odyssey, Rumble and BitChute. And I've got a Spreaker for my audio output. I do loads of conferences and meetup group talks. Most weekends I'm out there somewhere doing some talk or other. So you can find out where I am on the events page on that website, djmarkdevlin.com. Other than that, a few summer festivals. Looking forward to dropping a few tunes. Had a great chat with Slip Matt the other week on my podcast.
It was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed that. I'll actually link it to the bottom of this post.
Bit of DJ banter there. That was fun.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
So, good to catch up with you. And I'm sure we'll have much more to say as this one unfolds.
And hopefully I will catch you at Sounds Beautiful. And I'm sure we'll meet up many times throughout the summer at various events.
You never know.
Brilliant. God bless you, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on.
Cheers,
That's
Lou. No
fantastic.
worries.
God bless you.
Take it easy. Cheers.
So, what a guest. He is one of my favorite guests. I will hold my hands up there. There's no nightly news tonight. We will be back. Yes, there is a nightly news. What am I talking about? It's Wednesday. Yes, myself and Jason Nota and Kat will be back tonight. No, Christine, she's in Florida. If you're liking what we're doing, please consider buying us a coffee. We do try. We've been cancelled on PayPal now for nearly 4 years. And we're still fighting the fight. LibertyTactics.co.uk, exposingthelie.info for everything to do with Kinsey, the porn industry, and education. Go to Catherine's website. And Jason is now running our TikTok. He's doing a fantastic job. And you can find Christine over on Truth Social of Q Team Awesome. So that's it. We will be back tonight with the nightly news, libertytactics.co.uk. Bye.